This episode of Recap the Recap is brought to you by The Indeep Show. Well, hello there. Hey, girl, hey. Hey, boy, hey. We've missed you. Well, I can speak for myself. I missed you. I hope you missed us, too. I'm Queen Neen, and it is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Or afternoon. I'm in the studio with...
What's up, peoples? It's your man, Big B.
Yeah, we're doing this thing today. So you guys already know how you can reach us. You can find me on Twitter at MS underscore SmartyPants with a Z. Reach out. Say hello. You can find Recap at Recap the Recap. B, where can they find you?
You can find me stroking those Twitter streets at N-Deep Show B. That is spelled out I-N-D-E-E-P-S-H-O-W-B.
Nice.
With a little N at symbol.
Yeah.
In the front.
Yeah. Yep. That's how they normally find people on Twitter. Yay. So, it feels like it's been forever. Thank you guys for hanging in there with us and asking, hey, when are we coming back? You know, it was the 4th, so we decided to take a little bit of time off, have a little bit of fun with friends, with family, and yeah. So I don't know if you guys heard the Indeep Show, did a little drinking. It is what it is. And now we're back and we're here. So, you have anything to say before we get started?
Good to be back. Good to be back. Yes, much needed break. Got to entertain some podcast friends from out of town. And... didn't get to really show them all of the glorious and powerful city that is Washington, D.C. But what's more important, we were able to show them a nice bar and a good drink and indulge.
Indulge we did.
No doubt. So shout out to Dino Red and his lovely wife. Sorry that the rest of the crew couldn't make it down, but hey, we're overdue for a California trip, so maybe we can meet up with the crew then.
That would be awesome. Super, super awesome. Well, since we have something to do a little bit later on the show, let me get into our stories and I'll do my awkward segue. So I just want to catch everybody up on Reading Rainbow. And, you know, I have like some stories that I would have talked about last week. So, you know, you guys probably may or may not know about these stories already, but I don't care because I'm still super excited about them. And, you know, for those who haven't heard, they may be surprised too. So to remind you guys, we talked about the Reading Rainbow a couple of podcasts back, a couple shows back. And so they raised $6.4 million in just 5 weeks. And the really cool part about it is also, too, is $1 million of the funds came from Seth MacFarlane, you know, the dude that does The Family Guy. So I thought that was really cool of him, you know. You don't always hear about celebrities doing, you know, really super cool, nice stuff like that. So, you know, I just thought, I was like, aw, Seth. How cool are you? So, yeah, so the Reading Rainbow is going to be, they're going to do like a digital library of books and videos, and now they're able to expand it to more classrooms across the country. So I just think that is really, really cool. And hopefully with all that money, that LeVar does the right thing with that money, because that's a boatload and way more than he, you know, initially asked for. So LeVar, go forth, conquer, do wonderful things.
And Seth, if you have any more money you'd like to donate, please feel free to send it to the InDeep network of shows, care of your man Big B. Email me, I'll give you the bank account information.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, I know your man B, R. Kelly. I know you remember when he was smart enough to do the hashtag ask R. Kelly.
Only to be outdone by the Redskins hashtag.
Was the Redskins hashtag?
What does the name mean to you? Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, someone else decided to join in and so they did the hashtag ass thick, as in Robin Thicke, which this was after the BET Awards. I don't know if you guys remember how he sung the song about Paula and everybody was clowning him and just, yeah, they just made so much fun of him. I felt bad for him. But, you know, meh, you brought it on yourself. So so you can pretty much guess how well hashtag ass thick went. Yeah, I think it was just they didn't realize that folks would go in on him like they did. So mental note to anybody out there, when you're doing a hashtag, think about it. Unless you are into trolling, which, you know, some people seem to think that maybe Robin Thicke was doing a trolling kind of thing. So that could be a possibility too. So, okay, Robin Thicke, good luck. Oh, before I move on. So this is to tell you how bad Robin's new CD is selling. It sold 530 copies in the UK, 550 copies in Canada, and only 54 copies in Australia. They didn't even really like talk about how well it did or how well it, of course, we know probably didn't do that well in the US. And I took that as a sign because I could not find anywhere, you know, that was talking about, you know, how it was doing in the US. So, oopsie. Maybe you should move on, Robin. Try to pretend like that CD never happened, maybe. Maybe that would be helpful. I don't know. So, all right. Now, this next story, I know by now everybody has heard about this story. Everybody. This is the story about the guy on Kickstarter named Zach Brown who just wanted to make some potato salad. And he was asking for $10. $10 to get his, you know, to get his ingredients together. And for some reason, folks decided to take this Kickstarter to a crazy, crazy level. And, you know, a couple days ago, there were pledges up to $70,000 just for this man to make some potato salad. Now, some people have backed out of it, but so let's just say for right now, it's still $70,000 to make some damn potato salad. You know, I mean, there's so many, you know, things on, you know, programs and people need so much help on Kickstarter that it's like this dude was able to raise $70,000.
People are so wasteful with their money. If you'd like to do something very constructive with your money, please contact me, Big B, at the In Deep Show Network of Shows.
Okay. Yeah.
And yeah. I will forward you my PayPal information. And you can see your money being put to great use.
Hmm. How about that?
Yes. Just by the way, listeners, you will in the future be listening to our intro music done via Beatbox by Queenie. Because, yeah, our equipment's going to shit. And without your help, yeah, you'll be listening to her best Dougie Fresh rendition of...
You don't want that.
The IDS show. So, get involved, people.
I'd rather just do-do-do, because, yeah, you don't want me to beatbox. That would not be good. So, hey, you heard what he said. You don't want me to do that. But anyway, so what I found really interesting is someone actually broke down this guy's, like, if he got the $70,000, let's say, he would have to pay $21,167.49 in taxes from that potato salad money. And I'm pretty sure you know, again, he only wanted $10. So now, granted, it's great that he actually, you know, made all that money and he could afford to pay the taxes, because, you know, a lot of people can't afford to pay their taxes. But so they're saying Kickstarter takes about 5% of, you know, as a finder's fee. So that'd be about like $3,500. And so if Zach spends about $1,500 in expenses, then his pre-tax income is going to be $65,912 for some goddamn potato salad. So, you know, they talk a little bit more about Columbus and how much they would, that state would make in city taxes, and Ohio would make in taxes. And again, $21,000 just to make some potato salad. I mean, I don't even make potato salad that often, but I know I can do it too. So someone else came out with a Kickstarter that was like, help me make some coleslaw. And the last time I looked, I think it was at like 30 pounds or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so now Zach's pledges are down from 70 to about 46,000, but that's still freaking 46,000. So, yeah. So good luck with that. Hopefully he does some good things. But I heard with Kickstarter, you can't donate that money to charity, which I think is really crazy. Whatever it is, you start with Kickstarter, it has to go towards whatever you start, you know. That's pretty weird to me.
Well, I heard some of the things that he was talking about doing is, sounds like it's going to cost him more and possibly not be good ideas. Like, he's going to send people this potato salad.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm all right. I don't think I really care for potato salad through the mail.
Mm. Oh, gosh. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Your potato salad came USPS, and while you were at work, it was just kind of sitting outside waiting for you to get home after 6 p.m. So that's cool.
As a person that drives a truck that has a tendency to get to 124 degrees, yeah, I'm going to pass on the potato salad. It's probably bubbling by the time you get it.
Mm. Yeah, that's...
Might be a cure for AIDS if you eat it.
Oh, my. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it might. It'll cure everything. It'll cure financial woes. It'll cure stress. It'll cure relationship woes.
Why? Could you be dead?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, there you are. There you have it. Well...
Hey, have you listened to some of these remedies for, like, a hurt knee? Loss of liver usage? Removal of spleen, frontal lobotomy, yep.
All potato salad.
All that.
Okay, well, great. Well, we are going to go to a break really quick. So, when we come back, we have something really awesome. So, we will be right back. And, you know what? I have, like... I don't know. There's just been some stuff on my mind, and, you know, sometimes it's like you want to talk about things, but then you think, maybe I should share that for a show. Maybe I should share it. Well, we'll talk about it soon. Maybe, when this...
I'll probe her during the break, people.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go lay down on the couch. Okay, well, stay tuned. We will be right back.
You always answer my calls when I call. You come. You always answer my calls when I call.
You always come.
I don't even have to question if it's real or not. You're right there at all times. Even when my car broke down in the parking lot, you were there. You didn't stutter or hesitate.
Welcome back. Welcome back from the break. So, once again, I'm super excited. In the studio, we have some guests. And we have actually recapped this podcast twice. So that kind of tells you how much I enjoy it. So we have Sarah and Elijah from Relations, the podcast. And they are the podcast that talks about improving your social, professional, and romantic relationships every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. So, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of help there, I would say, right?
Especially for those of us that need it, like myself. Yeah.
How about that? Okay? How about that?
Why am I so single?
Hey, Will. So let's introduce and bring in Sarah and Elijah. Hey, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Super good.
Yeah, no, doing really good. It was funny because I heard the first time that you recapped the show, and Neen was like, you know, this is the show that thinks they could help you with your social, professional, and romantic life. That's a big promise. We'll see how they do. And I was like, dang. Uh-huh. I was like, did she tweet at me? It was like, this is what we said about your show. I was like, oh, okay. But it ended well. Yeah, you guys are serious.
Hey, well, I mean, that's a really big thing. You know, you're saying, you know, they were going to help you and you know, do all these things for your relationship and make you awesome. And so I was like, we shall see.
Well, listen, the final product is up to you. So we can only give the advice if you don't implement. That's not my fault. You signed the waiver.
Oh,
that's usually where I drop the ball.
Not that listener release.
Right.
One of the episodes I really enjoyed was called How to Learn to Forgive Your Partner.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, well, I mean, and I was like, this could be used not only for your partner, but for friends, you know. So if you guys remember that episode, talk a little bit about that.
That was one of those episodes where this happens probably more often than not, where, you know, we put the thing together and then we started recording and I had all of these revelations, these personal revelations where I was learning something as we did the episode. And it was definitely the case when we talked about forgiveness and apologies. It was kind of a little series that we did. Yeah, it's deep stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really deep stuff.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about the show, because you were talking about how it's applicable everywhere, not just with your romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. And the more we researched the stuff, we found that, you know, oh, if you're good at regular life or if you're great at friendships and all of these things translate. And to this day, the apology and forgiveness shows are two of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually a really great segue, Elijah, because I wanted to know, like, how do you guys come up with questions or topics for your show, because you have such really great topics.
So
you gonna take that one?
Yeah. Do you want the real answer or the one that makes us look competent? So in the beginning, one of the things Sarah and I decided, and I think this really helped us out, is before we ever started the show, we said we need 50 topics before we can talk about sex at all. And we made this list, and it happened really quickly. Yeah. We were both working on a Google Doc, and we came up with 50 topics. And I think what that did for the show is it steered us away from, you know, a lot of the, hey, here's how to put your thing in the other thing type shows, and it really allowed us to get depth. Mm. So as we explore a topic or as we record, like I'm sitting here with a notepad, and if something comes up, I'll be like, oh, that would be a good episode. So kind of each show would branch off into other opportunities. So eventually, we don't even now. I don't think I've even looked at the list in like 6 months.
It's because we finished. Yeah, we finished the list for sure. Yeah. And then, kind of the other thing we do is we've done a survey with our listeners, and we also have a secret group on Facebook where we, you know, every once in a while we just are like, "What do you guys want to hear about?" Mm-hmm. And they give us this group of people that we have on Facebook. They are some of the smartest. Most involved group of people. I don't know how we got so lucky, but sometimes they come to us and it's not like, let's talk about like how to ace a first date. It's deep stuff, like how do you get through a breakup where, like, you know, you're with his family and you're tied to the family, and then he's being manipulative and he's a narcissist. And we're like, whoa, all right, this is deep stuff. Let's go. So yeah, that's probably the other place. And then probably the third place that I think we come up with topics is, what are we interested in learning about? And then the research process is where we start forming some of those ideas and opinions. And then we really do learn along with presenting the episode itself.
Wow. No doubt. What percentage would you say of your topics have you maybe pulled from your own personal experiences? And when and if you have done that, do you divulge to your audience that it's a personal topic?
Well, our format's a little different, so we don't really want to be the experts on the show. So we find content that is centered around the topic itself. So we want you to kind of get the first bit of information, which are actual tips from someone else. And then our commentary on top is always personal. It's always how we feel about it. It's always, you know, we're telling stories about when we've been in that situation. So we get to put a bit of our personal lives into every show without it being, listen to us because we're brilliant.
Yeah, and that seems to work really well for us, and it actually makes bringing on experts and guests a lot of fun, because we know we're going to be able to sit back and really learn from them as our listeners learn as well.
That's excellent. Well, I guess I should have probably asked you guys to do this first. So why don't you guys just talk about your podcast and, you know, how you met? And because I know you're not in the same area. So,
nope.
Yeah. So talk about that so everybody knows.
Yeah. So this was, what, 3-4 years ago. We were both living in Columbus at the time, both kind of active on social media, blogging, Twitter, all that stuff. And we were tapped by Chevy to do a road trip for Chevy for South by Southwest. And it was kind of like a real world road rules thing. And it was me and Elijah and a couple other people from Columbus in this competition for Chevy heading down to South by Southwest. And Elijah and I ended up sitting up front for the most part, and probably for 3 days straight, we just talked about relationships. I mean, just nonstop talked about relationships. We were like, we should do a show. And that was 4 years ago.
Wow.
Yes, 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it never really happened until finally last August. We're like, okay, let's do that show we've been talking about for 4 years. But in the meantime, I mean, we had like other opportunities to do the show, and just stuff never really panned out. Like the timing wasn't right. Or, you know, whatever. And then just this last August, we're like, all right, let's do this thing and see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, it really is that simple. I had just finished a different business. And then I decided in June, I think it was June, right, that I wanted to start a podcast network. And immediately I was like, Sarah, this is it. Let's do it. She's like, Sarah is the de facto expert on the show. Sarah talks about relationships. She's been talking about relationship issues for years. So she was, you know, the perfect anchor for the show. And then I'm kind of an extra.
You bring the recklessness.
Yeah.
Sort of. We both kind of bring the recklessness. So but yeah, now I'm in Columbus, Ohio. He's in Atlanta, Georgia, because he moved somewhere within the last 4 years. And then the power of the interwebs allows us to still do this thing that we talked about 4 years ago on a regular basis. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then people actually listen to it, which was a surprising thing.
Yeah, I mean, some of the numbers that we pulled within our first 6 weeks, at least for me, not that I didn't have faith in our little podcast that could, but like some of those numbers were just surprising to me. I just didn't think we would hit those in 6 months, let alone 6 weeks, and it's ended up being quite a wonderful little journey for sure.
So, Sarah, you being the expert, I guess I should come to you. I'm a 6'8", handsome black gentleman, and I do absolutely no wrong, and I'm perfect in every moment of life. Why am I still single?
Maybe you're a little too perfect.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know you all that well, but you know, go ahead and listen to the podcast. Pick out a few episodes. Share the podcast with your friends, and I'm sure after you share it 5 to 10 times, and bring us another 500 listeners, you'll get yourself a girlfriend.
How about that?
I like where your head's at on that.
Right.
So are either of you guys married, or have you been married?
I've been married, yes. I got married very young and divorced very young. And I have been mostly single for the last almost, last 8 years or so. So my experience in the big bad world of serious relationships came very early on in my life. And I learned a lot of lessons from just making mistakes, honestly. And then kind of fixing those mistakes and then doing research into how can not only I avoid those mistakes in the future, but maybe help other people avoid those mistakes as well. So that's my story.
Well, if she gets one, then I'm taking one.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Yeah. So I never been married, but I've been in a relationship for the entire show.
Yes, yeah. He has.
Yeah, so in a long-term relationship. My story is I used to be the nice guy, in quotes. So I couldn't understand why I would do so well in social situations, but I could never close the deal. You know, I would always get nervous and weird. So I decided to study it scientifically. Like I would, you know, if I want to learn coding, I just take it like a class. Found some courses, a lot of pickup stuff, and just became the guy I wanted to be. And after about a year of studying, I was pretty solid. So I did some tests online, and we talk about a lot of those experiments. I tried online, and it ended up fine. Basically, I learned how to hunt, and I realized that it wasn't something that you were either born with or not born with. It's something that you could cultivate.
Mm-hmm. Interesting word, hunt. Right.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Explain hunt, Elijah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez.
Hey.
I mean, I am familiar with the term, of course, but for those who may not be, explain hunt.
Yeah. So I'm a big hunter-gatherer guy, so I believe in traditional gender roles, and a lot of the guys I talk to, they've forgotten how to hunt. So I think a lot of guys, they mistake the advances that women have made in the past few decades as women not wanting guys to hunt anymore, or women not wanting guys to approach them, to ask for the number, to go in for the kiss, to actually claim the woman you want, go get her from a pack and say, you know, you're the one for me. They're a lot more passive nowadays. So the passive guys end up saying things like, you know, oh, well, I was nice to her. I was her friend, and she still didn't choose me. But the hunter's mentality is, there's a deer. I'm going to get it. We're having venison tonight. I'll be back in 10 minutes. and those are two completely different approaches when you're, you know, looking to actively date as a guy. And I think guys should hunt more. And to this day, even Sarah would have to agree, it's very rare that that approach is not preferred by women.
Sarah?
Go ahead.
He and I argue about this all the time, but the traditional gender roles thing is a thing like I kind of bristle against, because I grew up in that environment as you're the little lady that needs to stay home and get married and pop out kids. And that's, in fact, what I attempted to do, even though I knew like that was not my role in life. I don't think I fit a typical gender role all the time for a female, and I think a lot of females don't anymore. What I can agree with for sure is that I think both genders need to be goddamn human beings and both be more proactive if you see something that you want. I think a lot of the games are very outmoded and outdated. I think, Elijah, when we've talked about some of the pickup artistry principles or hunter-gatherer, that there's really good principles from all of that that both genders can pick up and use with each other. Mm-hmm. But I think anybody enjoys being pursued.
I can agree with that.
Yeah,
man.
I think it's nice when somebody shows you. Like, for instance, I just met this guy recently on like OkCupid, and like super hot, and we had a really good conversation on the first date, and then just like nothing, like nothing. And I'm like, what's happening here? Like he still wanted to see me, but like there was no flirtation. There was no charm on his end. There was none of those kind of, maybe we could even call them old school, like dating techniques of like, let's create anticipation. Let's see what happens when I give you like a sly smile. There was like none of that was there. And it was so frustrating because I was like, this is supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be not playing games, but it is a game. It is a fun game for two people to play with each other. Absolutely. And he just didn't have any idea of how to do that.
I would say it a different way because Sarah won't say it. So someone has to. he wasn't doing his job as a man. So you'll notice that a lot of times women will, they'll be like, oh, I like this guy. I'm down. I'm just waiting on him to make the move or to take that action or take that initiative. Now, what I tell guys is the lady's waiting on you. She's going to fall in line if you lead, especially when you deal with an independent woman. She may be leading all day. She may be making hard decisions at work. When she comes home, she doesn't want to argue with you for 5 minutes about what do you want to do. No, what do you want to do? No, what do you want to do? that's an opportunity to lead but not be domineering. And I think what bristles Sarah the most is there's a thin line between being a hunter and being domineering or abusive. And she wants to make sure that she never endorses that other side of the line. But her hunter-gatherer mind, her hive mind, her reptile brain can't get away from
you shut your mouth
from respecting a hunter.
Don't you talk about my reptile brain in public?
No, I'm sorry, can we edit that part out?
My lizard brain.
but even if you heard Neen, like when I said it the first time, she was quick. She's like, yep, love being pursued because it's just natural. And
it is natural, but I think like men want that reciprocation as well, and a lot of women are very passive in dating too. They just kind of wait around, like I hope he really texts me soon. Like it is the reason I call it, play the game without playing games, is because I want to make that differentiation. Is that women have been given a lot of bad information over the years that we have to be these little pretty princesses that idly sit by waiting for some dude, but it really can be a beautiful, wonderful push-pull type dance, but both have to participate.
Agreed. And Elijah, just for a little bit of correction, now I prefer the guy to approach me, but I have no problems with approaching a guy. So just putting it out there.
Since we correcting,
yeah.
Let's take it a step further. When you approach, I can guarantee that you don't approach and lead the entire time. You approach as an opener, and then you move out of the way so he can take over. And if he doesn't, it doesn't work. True or false?
True.
Boom.
Oh, jeez.
Well, there has to be some type
of...
In the face.
Yeah, there has to be some type of chemistry there. So if I go over and I start talking to a guy and he's not giving me any type of vibe or that he's interested as well, then it's pretty much a done deal, right? I mean, I would think it would be the same thing if a guy walked up to a girl and, he was trying to talk to her and she was pretty much closed off. Wasn't open to receiving, his words or the conversation or any of that.
True, but rejection just affects each sex differently. So
Right. It's
a lot for a woman to step up and go after a guy. In fact, like, you hardly ever hear about it when ladies are young. You always hear about it when ladies get a little older. They're like, well, I ain't gonna sit here and wait for them to do XYZ. I can go say hi. But they never say that I'm gonna go court that man, because they're like, who does that? Like, that's weird. But a guy, once they get in the habit of hunting, once they relearn how to hunt, they're like, oh, well, yeah, I want you. Nah, we're going over here. Boom, boom. And it's just more natural, and the world would be a happier place.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think, though, with guys that they're just so used to doing it, maybe for 10 times that they've walked up and asked a woman, to have conversation or asked her out or asked her for a phone number, maybe out of those 10, maybe only one has said has responded and reciprocated the interest in him. So I think guys have a lot more practice with doing stuff like that. And I definitely think that women should start doing it more, because one, it surprises the hell out of a guy, and he's always taken aback, like, wait, what? Me? You talking to me? You know, so I think it's cool when women do it.
What do you all say to the person that may say, you know, instead of me just kind of just going over there and approaching a young lady, I'm going to wait for maybe something to start a conversation, break the ice, as to not come off as, you know, thirsty, or not
yes.
to come off as
the
player
it.
Dude, you know,
word.
Dropping right. lines to, you know, get every number I can.
So one of the things we really, really advocate very, very strongly on the podcast, and we've been doing it almost since day one, is you can mitigate that thirstiness and that waiting for, like, the opener if you just learn to talk to anyone for an hour. If you really practice your conversation skills in everyday life, like put down the phone in the line at the grocery, you know, break out a conversation with your barista that day, with your car repairman. When you start learning how to start conversations more easily, the less difficult it is in, like, that bar or hanging out or going out situation to find that opening with a woman or a man that you find attractive, because it's such a natural thing to just talk to people around you. So that is what I would say. Once you really learn what it is to just have a natural conversation with anyone, and then you can kind of start building on some of those flirtation skills on top of that, it you will not notice the desperation or the thirstiness anymore.
Yeah, and it takes that nervousness, because that nervousness mm-hmm. doesn't come from anywhere but a lack of practice and some added pressure that, oh, this is a romantic conversation.
Yep.
You know?
No doubt. You know, it's funny in that sense. Sometimes I find, and sometimes it's hard for people that, like, really know me to know that I'm really sort of a shy person. And I have the best sort of flirty sort of conversations with people that I'm not really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's someone that I'm like, oh my God, look at her, I'm like choked up and awkward and like, how do you do this?
Elijah.
Oh yeah, that was me.
It was.
Yeah. So, when Sarah met me, she used to give me a hard time because she just thought I was like one of the worst human beings ever. She's like, you just flirt with everyone. And I told her one day, I said, you know, I'm not. I just flirt because I'm not interested. It's just easy. And so I'm just out here playing. And I tried to tell her, I was like, you know, when it's someone I'm interested in, like, I get awkward and it's just weird. And this was years ago when we first met. And I just literally had to say, I'm just going to talk to everyone. So, like, I would go to the mall and I would just talk to the first 20 women I saw, no matter what. Whether they're with somebody, whether they're, you know, just meandering, whether they're shopping. And by the time you get to number 10, you've got a groove going. And I do the same thing in networking events. Just go in and just the first person you see, we're having a conversation. A lot of it is warm up and a lot of it is just practice. It's a skill like anything else. And then you just get so great at normal conversation and opening conversations that it doesn't matter if she's gorgeous. It doesn't matter if, you know, she's hideous. Is that bad to say? It's the only contrast I had in the moment. It's just about you doing what you always do. And when you reframe it like that, and that's something we talk about a lot on the show, reframing, you're only nervous because you make it a big deal. You're like, oh my gosh, she's so gorgeous. Instead, say, you know, well, I don't want to say something bad about her or like think something negative about her, but just think about something else. Like, even the most gorgeous women have insecurities and they're just as nervous talking to us a lot of times as we are going to talk to them.
Agreed with that. I do agree. People make fun of me a lot because I talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I'm in the line at the grocery store, if I'm sitting next to someone at a bar, I'm on the elevator. I don't care. I talk to people mm-hmm. all the time. And I think that, you know, you said it wonderfully. You talk to everyone and it's practice and it takes away, you know, your nerves when you're talking to anyone or you're in a situation that you may feel uncomfortable, but because you've just feel like, hey, I'm just having a regular conversation. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. Then it just, you know, makes it so much easier for you to just walk up and talk to anybody, you know?
Yeah, and it really, it cuts down the chances that you're going to have a bad date. It really does. I don't think I've had an awful date in probably 2 years because I approach every date as, here's a chance for me to get to know a little bit about somebody else, whether there's a connection or not. And I always, I 9 times out of 10, I end up still having a very pleasant conversation with someone, even if it's just for an hour. And it's just one of those skills that if you really learn it and you practice it, and it can be practiced, mm-hmm. it really permeates into all the best areas of dating and relationships. It really does.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's, it's really important to do so. Okay, so I have a question that we have asked on our network show, the In Deep Show. And so, Elijah, we know that you are not married. You haven't been married. You're not single. But what would you do if your girlfriend proposed to you?
Ooh.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah.
That would never happen, so...
Why?
Because I believe in setting expectations.
Okay.
So anyone that is even heading into a relationship with me understands that, you know, we play by hunter-gatherer rules, and there will be no ridiculousness like that.
Oh.
But let's say, for fun's sake, that I was in a relationship and it had been expressed that, you know, this is how this might go. If I was going to say yes, like if I knew we were going to get married anyway, I'd probably like give a courtesy yes and then say, all right, so thank you for that, but we're going to do this for real. And I'll let you know when that's going to happen.
So would the courtesy yes be because maybe she did it in a restaurant or she did it in a club and you would just kind of, you know, say yes so that way, you know, kind of for lack of a better term, to save face for her?
Yeah, because the number one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to embarrass someone you love, right? So we would have had conversations. Like, so I have marriage conversations before the proposal. So you know well before that, you know, this is probably going to happen. So we would have had the conversation that, oh, we see this going down this road. We're probably going to get married. And if she did it, of course, I'm going to do whatever the most positive thing is for the relationship. So my rule is when we're out in public, we're a team. I don't care if... I hit a baby in the throat. You better take his legs out because we're a team. But then when we get in the car, you could be like, you know, you had to do that baby like that. And I'd be like, you know, I know, but he said something crazy about my auntie. You know, so yes, I'm definitely going to do whatever saves face in the moment. And then later I'd be like, you know, you think you're funny. That's fine. I got you. No, I got you next time. But yeah, if we're going to get married anyway, of course I'll say yes. Okay. But I'm not going to embarrass her.
Okay. Well, I'm sure she would appreciate that. Well, Sarah...
Yes.
Would you propose to a man?
Probably not, only because I don't think I ever want to get married ever, ever again.
Ah.
Okay. So that is a non-issue for me. But I'm kind of on the same page with Elijah, but it'd probably be so much more hippy-dippy in whatever relationship I'm in. Like, we would probably come to a mutual agreement that at some point we will ask one another to spend... our lives together. Yeah.
Okay, so Sarah, I'm looking at your avatar right now, and I really believe you just destroyed a lot of people's hearts.
Oh, no. That is... I don't want to get married. I mean, I'll date. We can fool around, but we're probably not going to marry.
Yeah, there'll
be no ownership.
Not for sale.
Right.
So would you do like a Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell thing?
Yeah, I believe that in that for sure. I believe in long-term partnerships. I just don't know that I want to do the legal route again. Because I'm telling you what, there is nothing worse than having a breakup with paperwork, which is what a divorce is. And I don't want to go through that again, and I don't want to put someone else through that again either.
Well, I can understand that. Yeah,
I can totally understand that.
Yeah. Now, I haven't been on the show, so I have to know what your answers are.
That's right.
Well, I would propose to a man. However, you know, I would prefer him to propose to me. And I would only do it with the understanding that we've had this kind of conversation already where it wouldn't be like a total shock that I did it. Because I know, you know, I've had a conversation with a few other guys that are very much in the, they're traditional. And, you know, if the woman proposed to them, they would not be happy. So I would definitely, if I was in that type of relationship, I would definitely already have that conversation. And if he was one of those guys that was like, no, I don't want my lady to propose to me, then I wouldn't do that to him, you know. But I mean, if it is that kind of open kind of, you know, I love you, you love me, let's do it, let's do this, you know, and I would actually have a ring too, just so he knew how serious that I was.
Oh, you go all the way.
I would do it. Yeah,
I like it.
If I'm going to do it, I would go. I would go. What about you,
B? All in.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty much the same as Elijah. I mean, I would rather do it myself. I would be extremely flattered if someone thought enough about me to want to seal the deal. But again, I would probably, you know, pretty much the same as Elijah. I'd probably give the you know, the obligatory yes, and then, you know, like, all right, we gotta, you know, sort of right in the ship here, and then let me take the helm. So, yeah, I mean.
Big sigh.
Stargazing. But baby steps, let's get a relationship first.
Well, there's that.
No doubt, no doubt. Where do you guys see your podcast going?
Ooh.
Man, I think Elijah, just from a business standpoint, I'm sure he has like a 10-year plan for us at some point. For me, I really enjoy the ability to not only learn more myself, but to be able to, you know, maybe every couple of episodes really touch people, like really, you know, either say something or present information to them that can help their lives in some way, even if it's just like we just recently did our single series. Even if some single person hears the single series and they're like, I'm actually okay, I'm good. That's what gets me going, and that's what I see us continuing to do. To me, everything else is just details. They're important details. But to me, that's the main thing that I see for us going forward, is really continuing that, helping other people while we entertain and while we present good information.
Yeah, Sarah hit the nail on the head. The biggest change, and well, we haven't had a meeting on this yet, so you're about to find something out.
Oh, neat.
Don't.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. So the newest change to the show is adding more personal stories. So one of the things that I've been doing and that I did to Sarah, she didn't know it, is like kind of interviewing people around the topic and getting like personal stories and quotes to integrate into the episode closer to like a show like This American Life. Because I think that Sarah and I bring a certain perspective, but it's always going to be Sarah and Elijah talking at whoever's there. And then if we can bring in personal stories, people that can articulate the problems and articulate their experiences in ways that we can't, you know, or with personal experiences that we haven't had, I think that we can be that much more engaging with the show.
And how can I get on this list of interviewees?
Sir, you just made it.
You're on. Yay.
Ask and you shall receive. How about that?
Right.
We can do a mini series.
Love
my
it.
My dating
love
rules.
It, love it.
Yeah. How about that?
You know, switching gears and kind of going back to sort of where we started off, what do you think makes it hard for people to apologize, especially when it's not a thing of admitting whether a wrong has been done? Just flat out just saying, hey, I dropped the ball, my bad. What makes it so hard for people to do that, in your opinion?
I think one of the big things that makes that hard, and this I'll speak from personal experience, is that sometimes you lose sight of the big picture. Sometimes you, in a relationship, or even if it's just a friendship, sometimes you're loyal to the person in front of you, and sometimes you're loyal to the relationship. And I think sometimes when you're thinking about apologizing or asking for forgiveness, or even accepting an apology, sometimes it's not about the person in front of you. It's about the relationship that you've cultivated together. And that's a bigger picture thing, which is very, very difficult to do. Maybe if you are the victim of wrongdoing, or if you've perpetuated wrongdoing against somebody else. I think pride gets a little in the way of that. I think it's really easy to kind of tunnel down into your own hurt and pain and not be able to see that the long-term consequences of me not accepting this apology or delivering an apology means that I may be robbing myself and another person of happiness. And that's a very, very hard thing to do in the midst of that conflict. And most people don't think of it that way.
Yeah, a true apology is completely devoid of ego. So one of the biggest obstacles is the scoreboard. You know, a lot of times internally, if, you know, let's say, Neen, you know, you said something crazy to me last Thursday before I went to work, had me pissed all day, and then, you know, you took the car and brought it back late, and then, you know, last night you just went to sleep knowing I was trying to holler at you, but then this morning I didn't talk to you, or I might have said something off kilter. It's very difficult for me to rectify the thing I just did, because in my mind the score is 3-1. Even though I might not have said anything about those three, and I just internalized them. So a lot of times what will happen is, you know, if I said that one thing to you and you're the upfront person in the relationship, you're like, hold on, that wasn't right. And then out comes my list. Out comes my, you know, my scorecard. Like, well, you did this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And it takes a certain level of maturity and awareness to say, well, you know what? She just brought up an issue. I wasn't strong, brave, aware enough to bring up mine when it was time to talk about them. I need to put my stuff on the back burner and address this one thing. And then at another time, not directly after, we can go back and say, well, you know what? Here's why I was doing that, if it's no applicable. But the scoreboard kills people because they're holding on to five things you did that maybe you know about, maybe you don't. But it's going to prevent, I'm not going to make this other person completely happy because they did these things to me. And they forget that you love the person across the relationship from you. And they're worth the apology, right? So I used to ask a question like, so am I worth fixing this right now? And if the answer is ever no, then you have a bigger conversation on your hands. But every time it's yes, of course you're worth fixing this. So let's go ahead and do it and get it done, because there's ice cream we could be eating together.
It's all about the ice cream that you eat together. Yeah.
And chocolate chip.
Yeah.
What if the answer is yes, you're worth fixing it, but on the other side of fixing it, we should part ways?
Then that's responsible. You know, yes, you're worth fixing it as a person and as a friend. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to evict you from existence, you know, in my world. But maybe, you know, in terms of a romantic relationship, no, we're not compatible, or we need to take a break and get some perspective. It's okay, because like I like to say, 4 billion women on the planet.
That's right.
It's okay if one doesn't like you.
Yep. There's options. There's options.
Yeah, few.
That's a happy and scary thought.
Yes. It is. Yeah, you're right. It is.
4 billion women.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I mean, in the DMV where we are, it's pretty much like, I would say 8-1 or 10-1, I think. So, so if you're a guy in this area, you know, you're pretty lucky.
Wow.
Neen, I'm calling shenanigans on you.
Why?
Only because I live in Atlanta and you've heard the statistics here.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers. So I said, let me go to the Census Bureau and look these numbers up. because I heard everything from 10 to 1 to 20 to 1. And I was like, you know, that sounds a little ridiculous. It is, there's 6 million people here. Mm-hmm. And the actual complete ratio for the city is, I think, 48% to 52%. A lot of times what happens, and not saying that this is that this is your viewpoint, but mm-hmm. what I hear with these ratios mm-hmm. is it's self-perpetuating. Mm-hmm. So if, and think about it, so you have more attractive guys because they hear that the ratio is 14 to 1, so I'm going to act more confident. And women happen to like confidence, so it's a self-perpetuating cycle. Women, on the other hand, they'll say, well, it's 14 to 1, so I'm going to be more thirsty, or I'm going to be more aggressive, or I'm going to take, what I can get. And then they find themselves in disadvantageous situations. So you make the world you live in. Tomorrow, you'd be like, you know what? It's 1 to 1. Or it's in my favor. There's 10 guys to every me just looking for me.
First, I'd like
and
to...
Then,
oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, hon. I'm sorry.
No, and then just see how that works out if you frame the world that way, because you're like, oh, now I'm noticing more opportunities instead of focusing on, not that you're doing that. I'm just talking about mm-hmm. anyone that feels intimidated by the ratio. Mm.
Yeah. By the ratio, or even just to add on to that, even maybe you're a certain age and you're single and you're like, oh, there's no good people left. Well, if you think of it like that, yeah, there's no good people left. But if you reframe it as stands to reason that I'm a good person who is single, that there's probably other good people out there who are single. And there's some 300 million single people in the U.S. They're out there. You just need to kind of reframe the entire perspective on it. And I remember this was probably 3 years ago. I had that change, that reframing myself. And I was like, oh, this is actually a lot more fun now that I'm open to the fact that I'm not the only one. You're not. There are people out there, and it really is just kind of tweaking that mindset a little bit.
Hmm. Well, as I was going to say, first of all, LOL at you saying shenanigans. but that was very helpful because that kind of made me look at it from a different perspective. Because being in this area, I went to Howard, and I do know that the ratio on the campus of Howard University is a lot of women to guys. But but DC as a whole, I think when people look at that ratio too, we also look at it from the perspective of being straight, decent job, not in jail. I guess everybody's looking at it from that, from those variables. But, from what you guys just said, that really did kind of help me think, that I need to change my outlook. But I also do hear guys say, oh, there are no good women out here. And I look at them always, I give them the side eye, really? There are no good women out here? Seriously? There are, even the women I know a lot of great women. Now, mind you, I don't know how they are in relationships. I know people are sometimes different, but I always find it really funny when I hear a guy say that to me.
Yeah. So everyone makes the world they live in, whether they admit it or not. So, those guys either, they're not hunting, or they're hunting the wrong one, or they're believing the hype. Mm. So living in Atlanta, the hype is real. There are women that really think that Real Housewives is the way to go, or Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta. That's how the world is, or that's how this city is. Mm. It wasn't, and I actually was going to move last year in February, but I got into this group, this meetup group playing kickball, and I met an entirely different side of the city, hundreds of people that play in a kickball league and other leagues around the city that I would have never met if I didn't take the opportunity and say, well, I want to go out into this city and meet the people instead of just, believe in the hype, or taking how the entire city is from a horrible night at a club or a hookah lounge. And then when I got out there, I was like, oh, there are amazing, fantastic people. And this is the group I want to be around. And I was in that group. I saw somebody. I said, you and chose her. And it worked out. I think a lot of times the person saying it is the problem. Because just like you look at guys, you're like, are you serious? No great women out there? No, there are guys in this city who can't find a woman. in Atlanta. Hmm. And they're everywhere. But that's only because every time they see a single woman, they'll say something to themselves like, oh, she's probably taken, or she's probably a gold digger, or she's probably just looking for a baller.
Or she's stuck up, yeah.
Or she's stuck up, you know? And you just took yourself out of the equation because you can't go to that woman and have a conversation with her because that's what's running through your mind. Whereas if you, because we did a series on talking to strangers, which is another one I really love. Talk about if you look at every person as like a treasure hunt, finding something great about them, you're going to find that 99% of the people on the planet are people that you can enjoy and talk to. And if they're not for you, they can introduce you to someone, or their circle has someone that's great for you. It's just a lot of times it's really personal. We take whatever our history is, whatever our experiences are, and we extrapolate them into the world. And the world has no clue that that's what we're thinking. They're just living, having a great time without us. Mm-hmm. And we're the only ones missing opportunities.
Hmm. Great point. Great point. I mean, I think people should definitely get out there and do different things and step out of their normal comfort zone. You know, maybe, like you said, you went to do kickball. Maybe you could do wine tasting. Mm-hmm. Or just something that's not what you normally would do. Not the regular, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, X club tonight, or I'm going to this bar. You know, just go do something different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, I don't want to hold you guys too long, but something what you just said kind of reminded me of a question I had. What do you say to people that feel they need a cocktail or two to sort of loosen them up to be the person they need to be to meet people?
Well, you're talking to the wrong person if you're talking to Elijah.
For wow. Sure. Just put me on blast, huh?
I'm going to put you on blast. No, you're very
I'll
open.
Be drinking.
No, he doesn't drink. He's never had anything to drink ever. So
wow.
Elijah is Elijah on all cylinders.
I claim Elijah's liver first.
I am an organ donor. Here, let me write you down for that one, too.
At least for me, I mean, I get that. I do drink, so, like, I understand that, like, you know, sometimes you have a drink, so you relax a little bit. I think anytime that becomes a crutch, those people are, to me, are pretty obvious to kind of scope out in a crowd. And I think that's where that everyday practice comes in, because the more you do that everyday practice of talking to anyone, the less you're in that situation where, like, you want to interact with someone of the opposite sex or same sex, whichever way you swing. And you don't have to have that same nervousness anymore, or have to have that crutch that helps you calm down. The more you practice, the more you're going to be comfortable, the more you will not need aids, as in helpers, to like, help you.
I was like, wait, what?
I shut it on that one,
doing
too.
Right. Doing well.
Something in my spine said no.
AIDS as in help things that help you.
Right.
Thesaurus.com. Yes,
I know. Ooh. Shots fired. Before we go to Sarah, I heard on one of the podcasts that you wrote a book. So you want to talk about that real quick?
I did. One of the reasons I haven't really dated seriously in a long time is I went through a pretty horrible breakup about 2.5 years ago. And I actually wrote a book not only about that experience, but about what I discovered about breakups, what actually happens to us physiologically when we're grieving from a breakup. And so I compiled all of that into one helpful, handy dandy little book called How to Be Dumped, The Definitive Breakup Guide. And it's partly anecdotal, partly the science behind what your brain does when you go crazy. Like, there really is a reason that you want to call that jerk, even though he broke your heart. There's truly a reason you want to do that, because your brain hates you. so yeah, that's my book. You can find it on Amazon, or you can find it at thenakedredhead.com/book.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I've had such a wonderful time, and I knew it was, you know, going to be fun. So tell everybody where they can find you guys and, you know, find your show, and if there's any other information that you'd like to give our listeners.
Elijah, you got this one? I'll let you take this one.
So the show is called Relations: The Podcast, and you can find us at relationspodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. Just type in our name. And then I'm going to give the safe space. So we have a safe space on Facebook where we talk to a lot of our listeners and we come up with a lot of our topics. If you want to join that, and we definitely encourage you guys to join, Neen, Brian, and Big B, it is relationspodcast.com/join.
Cool.
And then, yeah, that's it. I'll leave it there.
What about on Twitter?
Oh, well, I am on Twitter at Elijah R. Young, and Sarah is at Sarah J. Storer. It's Storer.
Mm-hmm. And you can find the show at Have Relations.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
It was great.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for having us.
No, you guys are awesome.
Thank you guys. I, like I said, I knew it was going to be super fun.
Absolutely. I mean, anytime, excuse me, that I can get a chance to talk about relationships and find out what the hell is wrong with me and my thought patterns, I feel better on the other side.
Yeah, it's always nice when you hear another perspective and you walk away and you have some things to think about.
No doubt.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm not so perfect.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Well, thank you guys. You guys made it awesome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So, look, we're going to go to a break. We thank you once again for coming. You guys definitely check them out. I think this is a must listen because I think even if you are or if you feel you are happily in a relationship or marriage, you can always use another tool to make it just that much more better.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
More better?
Well, okay. Well, I mean, yeah.
More betterer. Yeah.
Or ish. Right. The bestest gisk.
More better, please.
Yeah. Okay, something great. Like yeah. Oh, and they're also talking about love languages this week. So you guys should go over there and learn what your love language is about. So, all right, we're going to go to break real quick, and we will be right back.
Responding. Ain't like you tried, like when you was hunting. Now you just reach whenever you're wanting. A little piece, but you're missing something. Think back when you were lost in the newness. You act as if somehow now you're clueless. You know inside what her body's asking. Lost in time, sometimes that can happen. See, God made us hunters and they are the hunted. In the beginning we chase them, make them feel wanted. But now that we got them, it ain't time to let them go. We discover the power that kisses hold. The time it took, now it's been replaced with priorities. Now it's like you're racing rather than enjoying the moment. It's making love only when you show it.
Welcome back, y'all. It's your man, Big B. And the only question I have in my mind, how in the hell do you follow up a segment like that?
Good question.
Whew. That was nice. That made you search your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Made you rethink some of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I took away? Sometimes it's like so what's the word I want to use? Sometimes it's like a breath of fresh air to kind of just hear something that just kind of, just I guess, eases your thought pattern. Like, damn, you know, didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even think it could be that simplistic.
Yep. That's the word that popped in my head.
Simplistic. Other than that, you know, it's kind of, I guess, kind of comforting also to know that, you know, people are going through or have been through what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All over.
Yeah.
It's not just the DMV. Everywhere.
Absolutely.
Everywhere. That was great. So thanks again to Sarah and Elijah from Relations, the podcast.
And then, look, I can go out drinking tonight and not keep in the very depths of the back of my mind that I need to be careful and not damage my liver because I have a perfectly unused one.
Right.
On standby.
Fresh on the ready.
No
well,
doubt.
Well, not the ready, but, you know, when it's ready.
I mean.
Well, when it's time. Right?
Well, I'll be the judge of all of that.
Oh, watch your back, Elijah.
Or the bartender.
Watch your back.
As you sleep, I shall begin surgery.
Right. Wake up in an ice bath. What happened?
Oh, why does my side hurt? You know what? I just thought of something. Is my liver on this side?
Uh-oh.
Maybe this is the pain I've been having for 3 weeks.
Uh-oh.
Why is the liver on this side?
Mm-mm.
Oh, God.
Too soon.
Damn it.
Yeah, but that was really cool to, you know, to actually talk to the people that, you know, from one of the podcasts that we recapped. Yeah, good times.
So, yeah, wow. You know, at some point, I think, and we actually got a couple emails on this.
Mm-hmm.
People have requested that we go through some of our archive shows
mm-hmm.
and put our wonderful rating system on some of the shows that we've done.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we got really great feedback for that. I was like, yay.
No doubt.
Thinking, you know, was there anything that we should add? Anything we should, you know, subtract? And it was all good, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think we should have a rating system for listeners as well.
For what?
Huh?
You said for what?
Who got shot?
Oh, see. There you go. There you are.
I'm just saying.
Hmm.
Said that they were going to send feedback and didn't. Your rating is shit.
Uh-oh. Nobody wants that. So,
So, back to our dilemma. As Johnny Gill and Stacey Ladisaw said, where do we go from here?
Well, I kind of feel like, man, I could end it right now. But there is some important stuff that needs to be said.
Like what?
Well, let's see. So we didn't have a show last week. The week before was Feek from the Black Astronauts.
Feek.
That was a really great... Can I talk my shit?
Mm-hmm.
He did a great job on that.
I understand some of you people wanting to pull out of having to follow behind such an incredible effort.
Hmm.
Suckers.
Right? Well, hopefully this next Can I Talk My Shit will make you think a little bit. Will make you, you know, not be so shy. So, hey, one question. Can I ask it?
Ask the question.
Can I talk my shit?
Can I talk my shit again? Can I talk my shit? I've been playing catch up with the show. I've been behind a couple episodes. And I've noticed a recurring thing. Apparently people have been promising to send their Can I Talk My Shit segments in and name and come through. And I just got one thing to say. Boo to all y'all asses. Let me ask you a question. Do you like the show? I said, do the people like the show? Well, what the fuck, man? Ain't like they asking you to send money or nothing. All they ask is that you send it a little feedback. And y'all niggas can't even do that shit. Shame on all you niggas and niggas. That's all I got to say. Short, sweet. And let me tell you something. If you got a problem with what I said, don't talk about it. Be about it. Send some shit in. I'll get with you. That's a bet. I'm done talking my shit now. Peace out.
Thanks for that. And for those who do not know that voice, that was Chill from Tastes Like Fried Chicken, part of the Chonilla Network. Yeah, she pretty much said everything that we've been saying. What was a little more direct?
Yeah. One problem, though. We're going to need you to send that money as well as the feedback. The feedback's free, though. You should be easy to part with the Can I Talk My Shit segment. And you should be just as easy to part with that $1,000 endowment that you wanted to give to the show. Thanks.
Okay, great. That's really kind of you.
I appreciate you.
So, for anyone that is interested
in sending that $1,000 endowment.
Well, that'll be your email address. But if you're interested in sending in a can of talk my shit, you could send it to recaptherecap@gmail.com. And we will add you to the list.
And you can CC she be sure enough at Nerdy Black.
Oh, my.
To tell her I got backup. God damn it.
Oh, it's really cute. Like, they just interacted, Chill and Shebe just interacted on Facebook. It was cute. It was like, hey, check her out. She's cool. You know, check her out. Like, I think they would have a good time going back and forth because both of them are just, I don't want to say crazy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say crazy. I'd say
fun?
Crazy.
Oh, okay. Well, fun, yeah, fun, awesome. So both speak their mind. So, well, I mean, you can definitely tell Chill speaks her mind. And
I saw Chill post something the other day, and I meant to get on Chill. I don't have that many, and by that many, I haven't had any conversations really with Chill.
Okay.
But she posted some ribs and shit going down.
Oh, yeah.
And those ribs went the way of the cake from Lady Rel.
Oh, okay.
Well, in that it never made it to me.
Did you ask Chill to send you some ribs?
I shouldn't have to ask Chill to send ribs.
Okay. She should automatically
she
know.
She should know by my physique that ribs are required.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hmm.
Okay.
Hear that?
I don't get this way off of lettuce wraps and tofu.
Hmm.
Requires meat.
Okay. Well, you can send those ribs to B. I'm good. But all aside, they really did look really good, though.
They look good as a motherfucker.
They really did look good.
Hence the reason I'm talking about
it. Right. I'm like, I don't even eat that stuff, but it really did look tasty. So,
So chill. If you want to get those ribs to me, you can, freeze them, overnight them, and just email me, ndeepshowb@yahoo.com, and I can get you that info.
That's your email address?
ndeepshowb?
I thought it was
ndeepshow. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Twitter. I'm mixing it all up.
Right.
You can inbox me at ndeepshowb, or you can email me at ndeepshow@yahoo.com. There you go.
Right. Get them some ribs.
Just get the ribs to me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
But, ooh. So, yeah, I guess that's it.
Is it?
Yeah. So, thanks to everyone for, as you always do, for listening to the show, hitting the thumbs up button, sharing that you're listening to the show, because that's how people find, you know, our show as well as other wonderful podcasts out there. Again, if you want to email us, recaptherecap@gmail.com. You want to find us on Twitter, it is recaptherecap. And I am MS_SmartyPants with a Z. We're on Facebook at, what's Facebook? Recap the Recap Show. So you have to send us a friend request, but I'm sure you're cool, so we'll accept it. So you don't have to worry about that. Easy peasy. So,
man, shouts to our guest relations, the podcast.
Yes.
Miss Sarah and Mr. Elijah.
Yeah, super cool. Very, very cool people. So,
I feel like when you say Elijah, you have to almost give it an accent.
Because it's kind of like the honorable.
Elijah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those names that you can't like hood out like Elijah.
No.
It doesn't sound right. You just got to give the whole Elijah.
Okay. You know what? I wonder, like, the road trip they were talking about. I need to look that up. So, have a great Saturday and a happy Sunday. See you soon. Bye.